News Talk 770 AM 92.5 FM WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, listen, I'm already gotten some text messages from that last monologue, the Right Side Way Just Then. My buddy David just texted me and said, leadership. And I said, yes. Listen, hey, by the way, I got to say this before I go any further. I got a great text just now from Travis over at Just Love Coffee. And I so appreciate this. I love it when people pass things on. He said he just had a great conversation with a lady. I won't say her name, but he said he had a great conversation with a lady who was in the area, and she had stopped by for lunch. She asked the nurse where she could grab lunch. She was there for a medical appointment. And the nurse, she got referred over to Just Love Coffee Cafe. And the lady who came in said she had just signed up for her Right Side promotion, said she's a Right Side ruffian, been listening to the show since it came on. And I thought that was just very cool. You love hearing that. People coming into town, and while they're there, they go and frequent our sponsors, our team members. And so that was very – Travis, thanks for sharing that, man. That's good stuff. Hey, listen, by the way, speaking of which, if you find yourself getting outside the overly broad range of our AM-FM capability here at WVNN, it do not matter. Wherever you are in the whole wide world, you can go to the World Wide Web and click on rightsideradio.org. That's our website, rightsideradio.org. Go to the Listen Live button, and when you get there, just click on Listen Live, and I always say no matter where you is, there we is. So that's why we have listeners like all over the place, like way out of state. We have people all over the nation that listen. But I'll tell you what else happens a lot of times is if you're a podcaster or if you want to repeat part of the show or you miss part of the show and you want to catch up. So what happens is every single day, Copper will take the show. She'll divide it up into, you know, short segments, and then get them in a place where Birdman can grab them, format them, and put them up on every version of podcasting available. So it doesn't matter whether you're Apple or Amazon or Podbean or whatever the case may be. We've got them all on the website. And we're pushing 25,000 downloads of people who have been listening to the show in podcast form. So very cool. Very cool. Go to rightsideradio.org, and there it all is. So let's see here. It's 2:26. Let me do this. So I'm about to introduce a whole segment on basically what I'm saying. I'm calling it policy equals security. All right. So there's any number of things that the Biden administration is doing, and those policies which do not look to be at all related to like what is Pete Buttigieg? Buttigieg is. I mean, what is he doing for the supply chain? Do you have any idea how the supply chain affects national security? I'll tell you. What about energy? What about other sectors of our policy positions by different cabinet members? Well, they all wind up having an impact on our national security. So I'm going to unfold that in a minute. I thought what might be important, first of all, though, is to listen to perspective on what's happening in Ukraine. I don't know that I have time to play this segment right now. I tell you what, Copper, you good to go on clip two? Have you got clip two ready, General Keane's clip? You good? Okay. Let's do this. I want you to hear from a general talking about what is happening with a potential war front to which U.S. troops are being deployed in terms of the broader picture. Copper, go ahead and play it.
So I want to bring in Fox News senior strategic analyst, retired General Jack Keane. How you doing, General? Good morning to you. You told our producer some very interesting things. You still believe a full-scale invasion is unlikely. Explain.
Yeah, for a number of reasons. Well, first of all, we're left to speculate here about what's in Putin's mind, but I think I'm associated with the Institute for the Study of War, and we got some brilliant analysts there who track this thing, And here's a reflection of some of the thinking. One, it's not in Putin's pattern. You know, he is broken from the Soviet Union model. And we saw that in Georgia. He didn't seek ownership. He's seeking influence and control. Mm-hmm. And he brought his troops up to the Capitol, short of the Capitol, and then withdrew them. And they stayed occupied in a smaller portion of Georgia. The same thing in Ukraine. After the people ran out his stooge, Yanukovych, who had a close association with Russia, and he annexed Crimea and moved into eastern Ukraine, he clearly could have toppled the anti-Russian government and installed his own government. But that would have meant ownership, and a lot of consequences go with that. The other thing is that he hasn't prepared, Bill, his population for the increase in casualties would go with a full-out invasion and occupation of Ukraine. Actually,
okay,
he's
stop
still
it there.
Telling,
go ahead and stop it there, Copper. So the point he's making is this. There's way more to the picture. He's talking about even Putin has policies back at home that he has to put in place. He has to have certain machinations. He has to get over certain hurdles within his own populace. He has different things to say. I wish I could play the whole clip, but what I'm going to do instead is I'm going to come back now and flip the script. How does it happen for us? What policies are being put in place, and how do they impact our national security? Even though they might not look like they do, they do. All right, folks, we're coming right back. Why Policy Equals Security. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. So listen, number one of the triple dipper, I'm calling it Why Policy Equals Security. Policy equals security. When I say that, what am I saying? Public policy. Public policy is basically the decisions that are made by your government that impact the lives of the general public. All right? Public policy. How does it affect security? Well, I mean, nobody would ever stop and say, well, old Pete Buttigieg, he's in charge of our national security. Not technically. He's the Secretary of Transportation. It's having a massive impact on national security. What about the energy sector? I mean, energy policy. I mean, whether we do the Keystone Pipeline or not, that's not going to impact our national security. Oh, I beg to differ. Yes, it is. Well, how about Alejandro Mayorkas, the Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security, who apparently can't fight his way out of a wet paper sack? What is he doing right now? I mean, the borders. We got to be fair to people down there, right? We got to make sure we take care of all these folks and ship them all around the nation and make sure they got good places to. I mean, they came here illegally. Never mind. That doesn't impact national security. Oh, but it does. So anyway, here's the deal. Let me do this. I'm going to step you through three examples in the news, like in the last few days, of how certain things that are done by cabinet members enacting the policy of the Biden administration that would seemingly be unrelated to our national security, how they absolutely impact our national security. Absolutely. Here's one story off the Daily Wire. All right. Daily Wire. Dated February 6th, today's the 7th, so it's yesterday. So Daily Wire reports that in an interview over the weekend with Martha McCallum from Fox News, Daily Wire reports that National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan, which I gotta give the guy props for coming on Fox because, you know, they hate coming on Fox because they actually get asked questions. But he went on, and so he was on Fox News Sunday. She's replaced Chris Wallace for the time being, or she's one of the ones subbing in. And she pressed him on the United States depended upon foreign sources for energy, despite the fact, folks, that we were just a net exporter of energy, a net exporter. We were energy independent just prior to President Biden taking office. His policies have changed that. Literally, his policies have immediately changed whether or not we are energy independent. So she says, why not reopen the Keystone Pipeline and reopen federal leases on U.S. land? Because we had energy independence that was a large leverage for the United States over Russia. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, it's not just about the Keystone Pipeline. It's not just about we're going to start running things on batteries and solar panels. We need some more windmills out there. So Jake Sullivan, the National Security Advisor for President Biden, didn't really know what to say. He started to come off, we're still a substantial producer of energy. Yeah. And she says, but you do concede that we're no longer energy independent, Jake, and we were before. And it's like he got caught off guard. He had like a pause. You could tell he was trying to compose his words in his head before, which is, I guess, wise, but it also was apparent that he was caught off guard. And he quickly pivoted, without answering her question, he pivoted to explain that the United States planned to be a leader in transition to clean energy. And he went on to the gobbledygook about the use of fossil fuels versus the use of, you know, clean energy. And she pointed out very quickly, here's the crux of it. McCallum was quick to point out the fact that Russia and China might see his answer on her interview as a green light to go ahead with whatever they had planned, adding, some might say that Russia and China would look at that answer and feel like they're in a pretty good position. And it's true. So listen, here's the deal. Keep in mind that we were a net exporter of energy resources. Like right now, down in South Alabama, despite having offshore drilling right there off of its coast, is about to have to pay higher energy prices for gas this winter because we have to get most of that gas up to the northern parts of the country where it's much colder and they need it, leaving us to have to pay higher prices even though technically it's right off of our shores. Why? Because there has been a curtailing of offshore drilling. There has been a curtailing of drilling on federal lands. There has been a cutting of the pipeline. There has been a policy sector that has been pushing through regulatory burdens already that has caused the oil and gas industry to slow production because they're not sure how to adapt to this. Combine that with the pandemic and the way it's been handled, and you see the picture. Meanwhile, what did we do? We went from exporting energy to now having to import it. Where do we import quite a bit from? Russia. So as Russia looks at us in the middle of a cold winter, and here we are looking at starting a cold war, don't you think that they have a piece of leverage now with us that they didn't have before? The answer to that is yes. Energy policy affects national security. Too easy to see. All right, let's look at some other things here. Let me surf through my stack of stuff. I'm going to find one. Yeah, let's do this. How about our border policy? Oh, Phil, are you going to go there? You darn right I am. So here's the deal. Texas Attorney General Paxton, over the weekend, according to Daily Caller again, slammed the Biden administration for, quote, what he called inviting illegals to come. All right, just inviting them to come here. Basically, what you've done is you've rolled out the red carpet, is what the Attorney General for Texas is saying. You basically invited people to come here. We know for a fact, and they can't deny it, that the Biden administration has literally opened the door. They're showing no indications they're going to close the door. People are flooding across the border in epic numbers. It's like a wave of people every single day on the southern border. They then ship them all over the nation. Sometimes they actually supply flights to get them to the far corners of the nation. Well, here's an article just a few weeks old from December 2021. The Customs and Border Patrol says migrants from terror-plagued regions are crossing the southern border. Oh, wait a minute. What happens? You mean there could be terrorists coming across? No, there have been terrorists coming across. The Press Office of U.S. Customs and Border Protection offered no judgments in a recent press release, according to this report, but it was pregnant with what they called unspoken meaning. Here's the deal. Two men from Syria were caught on November 23rd, one man from Lebanon, another hailed from Tajikistan. Still another arrived from a long journey from Uzbekistan. Six showed up from Eritrea, which is still in a dangerous northeastern African neighborhood sharing borders with Sudan, Ethiopia, and Djibouti. And the agency noted that in just October alone of last year, the Del Rio sector encountered 28,111 unauthorized migrants from more than 50 countries. So this particular report comes from a source called CIS.com. And they make note in this report that this is not the first time. In fact, in April of last year, Customs and Border Patrol proudly announced that they had detained two Yemeni migrant men who were justifiably notable, the story says. In fact, they were justifiably notable because both of those men were on the FBI's terrorism watch list. And one of them, a Yemeni man, was found hiding a cell phone SIM card in the sole of his shoe, and he was on the no-fly list even. The press release got taken down off the Customs and Border Patrol website within 24 hours. So you see, folks, policy, it affects national security. It's not a question of, we're trying to be nice to the people on the border. They come from a disadvantaged background. We have to open our doors to them. Well, open your doors, but you know what? You can have checks and balances. But when you've got an energy sector that went from being independent to now dependent upon foreign sources, thereby reducing our leverage against the same Russia that is massing 100,000 plus troops on the border of Ukraine and causing us to send troops, yeah, we just lost some leverage in national security and foreign policy negotiation. Or what about the fact that I just mentioned here at home, our domestic border policies, Department of Homeland Security, doing absolutely zero, nada, maybe in the negatives, to deal with the fact that we have an open and porous border. And yet we have already recorded arresting people coming across the border illegally who are on the terror watch list. One was on the no-fly list. Coming from countries where we know that Islamic radicalism and other forms of terrorist ventures are well known and documented. All right, what else have I got? What else you got in your stack, Phil? Let's see what I got right here. All right, here's another one. Policy equals security. What about this? Supply chain. Well, Pete Buttigieg, bless his heart. Pete Buttigieg got back from his 2 months of paternity leave, only to find out there was a supply chain issue going on. Well, it got worse. It got worse and worse. Meanwhile, reports out today that Pete Buttigieg, his number one thing right now, his number one agenda item, it appears, is to make sure that more bike paths are installed along public thoroughfares. Yes, I kid you not. In the midst of the supply chain debacle, Pete Buttigieg is very concerned about whether we have enough bike paths. I got news. That's a failed policy issue. If people want to ride their bikes, they will. But right now, we've got a supply chain situation that is drastically impacting not only our local economy, and I'll tell you about that here in a second, but it's also affecting our national security. With who else but China? Copper, I'll tell you what, let's do. Let's go ahead and go to a break right now. We come back, I'm going to unpack for you the failed supply chain or commerce issues related to chips, microchips, and why it means that Ford, among other manufacturers, is having to cut production at 8 factories. And a lot of it stems from things that could impact our relationship with China. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. More of that when we get back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Hey, listen, I do have a caller on line one, so let me just go ahead and grab that. Is it Chris from Lewisburg? Is that right? Hey, Chris, Phil Williams on Right Side. How you doing?
Hi, how you doing? Hey, all
I'm good,
the information
sir.
You give is all great information. It's all true. I agree with you 100%. But there's always one thing you leave out. And the main reason these people are coming here and Democrats are letting them and encouraging them to come here. There's one reason. Why won't you say that?
Well, since you've obviously set the stage for what you know, go ahead and share it with the audience.
It's called votes.
Which has nothing to do with what I'm talking about today, but okay.
They're not interested in helping these people. They're interested in helping themselves.
Oh, okay, Chris, but you talk as if like it's an accusation, like they had nothing to do with my narrative today about national security, but
I said all your information is great. Everything you say is true. It's all true, but you don't tell the bottom line.
Okay. Thanks, Chris. Appreciate the call. Have a great day. All right, listen, which again had nothing to do with what I was talking about, but, you know, man's got an opinion, and I don't know that he's wrong. All right, listen, back to my point, though, national security impacted by policy. Let's talk about supply chain. That's where I'm at right now. He was picking up on one thread about one thing about part of what I was talking about that has nothing to do with the overall picture. Here's the deal. I am talking about national security right now. What happens when all these policies are put in place? What happens when an immigration policy is basically a zero border security policy? Well, like I just told you, we suddenly had people on the no-fly list, on the terrorist watch list, who are being caught as they come across the border illegally. What happens when our energy policy goes from putting us in a position of being energy independent to energy dependent? Well, suddenly we lose leverage against bad actors like Russia, who we are now importing oil from. See, they all impact our national security. Here's another one. Here's an article on Business Insider. Businessinsider.com, February 6th, that would be yesterday. Ford Motor Company plans to suspend or cut production at 8 factories. Those factories are in Michigan, Chicago, and in Mexico. So 8 total factories Ford is planning to suspend or cut production at 8 factories following a slump in its shares, all because it says there's an automaker chip shortage. Microchips. Believe it or not. Think about it. Everything electronic in your vehicles is run off of microchips now. And they are getting very hard to get. Well, okay, so this is a big deal. The supply chain is in havoc right now. They're trying to get things overseas into the ports, get them unloaded at the ports, get them shipped out on the trucks. All of it's a mess. Meanwhile, Pete Buttigieg is intent upon making sure that we have bike paths, because that's important. But that to say, what are the Democrats going to do about it? Well, story from Gizmodo.com. As of yesterday, the House has now passed a bill to invest billions in bolstering chip production and supply chain infrastructure. Now, granted, estimates are that it would take billions of dollars and years to establish a microchip manufacturing plant in the U.S. It would. But on a strictly party line vote, the Democrats decided they're going to throw $300 billion at the issue in order to incentivize the private sector to make microchips. Well, that's wonderful. When there's a problem, make sure you throw money at it. That usually is their solution. All right, but why is there a shortage? Well, there's a shortage right now because the global pandemic, the supply chain snarled up, the regulatory policies that are put in place by places like California that burden the ability to unload the ports and get them shipped out have all created this massive bottleneck on the ability to acquire microchips. And the auto sector is one of the most drastically impacted by this. And it's not, they say in this article I'm looking at right now, that I got this one off of CNET.com. CNET.com says this is not a silver bullet solution. There's no way to get these things to pop up overnight. Like I just said a moment ago, it would take years. But in doing so, what you have to look at is this. Article from the New York Times. How the computer chip shortage could incite a U.S. conflict with China. Oh, this is interesting. Yes, it is. Storyline from about 10 days ago. The war game scenario conducted by a Washington think tank began with a sudden failure at three Taiwanese semiconductor foundries that make high-end computer chips. The staged event questioned a halt in production, which raised questions whether a cyber attack by Beijing, China, was responsible and would touch off an international crisis between China and the United States. And listen, what happens then? It says 75% of all microchip production does take place in East Asia. That's real. 90% of the most advanced chips are made in Taiwan. Right now, China is imposing itself upon Taiwan. There are some indications they may want to invade and take Taiwan back. China's doing everything it can in this article, according to the New York Times, to take over the global market so they can out-compete with us. And now that we have put ourselves in a position of relying upon microchips from Taiwan, to the extent that when we can't get them, we start having to shut down portions of our economy, like the Ford plants, you can see what happens. This article points out the United States is right now more dependent upon Taiwan's high-end microchips than it was on Middle Eastern oil in decades past. So when you see supply chain bottlenecks, and it falls on the Department of Transportation to try and unlock those, and Pete Buttigieg is more insistent upon making sure that we have good bike paths, recognize that when the Ford plant closed down, it may have something to do with that, which, oh, by the way, has something also to do with our national security, because should we press the point, we are then imposing ourselves upon something that China cares about deeply. And if we look at having to defend Taiwan, what will that do to the overall picture? Folks, I'm just telling you, that's a supply chain or a commerce or a transportation issue. And that policy is impacting whether plants like Ford are staying open or closed. It's also impacting our international relationship with one of our near-peer adversaries, China. Same is true with the energy policy. When they put in drastic energy policies that change our ability to be energy independent, we lose leverage with bad actors like Russia. And then on top of that, when you see things like border policy, so lax that it's almost non-existent, that as the floods of migrants come across the border illegally, when they are detained, we find that there are members within those crowds that are on our terror watch list. I'm just telling you, all of these policies, every one of them, has something to do with national security. They are not isolated. They are not separate. They are one. You keep your eyes on the prize. national security, the common defense, that comes first. And if we're going to put these policies in place, they better recognize what happens. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back.